Well, I'm scanning the creatures that we have brought this morning with us to see if the one I'm going to talk about this morning is present. I don't think actually it is. I should explain. We're doing a series here on our Sunday mornings on different animals in the Bible. What did we have last time? What did we have last time? Stunned silence. Garden of Eden. We'll go on to
the UFO.
Those animal skins, and what did they represent? Well, Molly.
When Jesus will die for us and will wrap us in his righteousness.
In his righteousness, that's it, you got there, well done. Because what had happened to Adam and Eve? Where had they ended up? Stanley.
Banished from the Garden of Eden.
They were. And what did they feel in themselves toward God? Can take questions from any part of the building this morning, so I'll try and keep an eye open for a hand there as well. What do they feel in themselves? Stanley?
They're ashamed.
They're ashamed. And rightly so, because they were guilty. Guilty before each other, guilty before God, and whatever creature it was that was killed in order for them to have that covering, looked forward to somebody else who would die, that we might be covered in righteousness, his righteousness, and that was Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to be looking at other creatures, animals, that are going to represent something similar in weeks to come. But we're going to do someone totally different today. I'll mention a name. Balaam. Balaam. What animal might be there? All right, Timothy.
A talking donkey.
A talking donkey. Well, now. A talking donkey. Have we heard of such a thing? We've got some donkeys up there in the field up above Crich. We pass them quite often. They might fancy a carrot or something like that, but I have never yet heard them speak. So, I better explain this one, hadn't I? We're not used to animals speaking to us. Our cat didn't have a conversation with me this morning. Our hamster seemed fairly quiet, and the guinea pigs likewise. So, well, Balaam. He was approached one day by some people that had been sent by Balak, king of Moab, who was mighty, mighty anxious because on his doorstep, who had arrived? Who had arrived on his doorstep? Who was right there? Looks like Timothy.
The Israelites.
The Israelites. Where were they on their way to? Where were they going? Where were they going? Stanley?
Guess the promised
land. You guess right. Promised land. Left Egypt. They're on their way. And now they're getting closer. And they're right there, right on his doorstep. And he knows their power. And he knows they've scored amazing victories. So he thinks, this is what I shall do. I'm going to hire a prophet. So he thought a prophet. To come and to curse Israel for me. So that bad things will happen to them, and they won't invade my country, and everything will be all right for me. Well, he sent these agents to go, and they went to this man called Balaam. And they spoke to him. Really, he's a false prophet, okay? He's not a true prophet of God. Bit of a mixed-up character here, as we'll see. And he wasn't going to go, and then he decided he would go. What was he looking for as a result of going? What did he think that he would get? Yes, thank you very much there. Joy there. Money, this is the one, isn't it? Money, what people will do for money. So he thinks, right, I'm going to go. I'll go, right. Leave it to me, I'm coming. And so what did he travel on? Forget there. What did he travel on, Charlotte?
A donkey.
A donkey. Then he rode a donkey. And on he went on his journey. But God was not pleased with this man at all. Because God was with his people. And God is going to bless his people. And no false prophet or anybody else is going to be able to stop him doing that. And there's Balaam on his donkey. On he travels there. And all of a sudden, in the path, obstructing his way was whom? Who was there?
A lion.
A lion is a very good try. That's a very good try. It could well have been. It wasn't. Well, Timothy.
An angel.
An angel was there. glorious, strong, mighty. We don't read exactly what he looked like, but he would have been all of these things. And the donkey felt what, seeing this angel? How did the donkey feel about that, Molly?
Frightened.
And the donkey veered off into a field. He didn't like the look of this angel. He was frightening. And so he tried to get out the way. What did Balaam do to his donkey? What did he do to his donkey? Was he very pleased with his donkey? No, he wasn't. So what did he do, being a rather cruel master of the donkey? Molly?
Hit it or kick it?
He hit it. Stay with that. He hit it. Beat the donkey. That hurt, didn't it, for the poor donkey? The donkey kind of got back on the path again. And now the donkey was going along, and there were two walls, the vineyards the other side, and there was the angel in the way, and a donkey kind of moved to the side to get round the angel. And Balaam was on the donkey, and the donkey crushed Balaam's leg against the wall. Well, that's going to hurt, isn't it? So what did he do to the donkey? Stanley? He hit it again. He hit the donkey again. So the donkey, you know, that was hurt, and carried on. And now there's the angel, and the walls and this path come in so close. The path is narrow, so narrow, in fact, you can't get past the angel. And so the donkey just slumps down, goes down onto the ground. And what do you think Balaam does to the donkey? Grace? He hits the donkey again. But now God gives to the donkey something remarkable. He speaks to Balaam. He speaks to him. Balaam doesn't seem particularly surprised at this. He gets the donkey to donkey speaks to him because God has opened the mouth of the donkey. And the donkey speaks to Balaam. What is this that you're doing to me? Balaam, I'm so angry with you. You've done this to me now. You've stopped me here. You've crushed my leg. He's not very happy with his donkey. And the donkey complains to Balaam. I have been with you all these years. Since you have had me, have I ever been disobedient to you? Balaam has to admit, no. And then God opens Balaam's eyes. So what does Balaam now see? What does he now see? Grace, the angel. So suddenly he sees the angel himself. And God tells him through the angel, God is not pleased with Balaam. And he's got to be very, very careful. He's going to allow him to go and speak to Balak. He's going to allow him to go there. But of course, when he gets there, he doesn't curse the people of God. What does he do instead? The opposite. What's the opposite of that, Charlotte? He blesses them. That's what's going to happen, because he now learns, I'm really in trouble here. I've got to be so careful. And God extraordinarily gives this man the ability to hear his true word rather than from a false spirit or something. Astonishing. But the donkey spoke. Do you not know this? God is king over everything. Do you know that? He's king over everything. Donkeys, cows, horses. He's made them all, everything. And sometimes, well, things can go wrong with them. Sometimes nature sort of kind of falls apart a bit, and we've had foot and mouth disease, haven't we? And animals have died, and God may be speaking to us at times through these things, because God is in charge of nature. It's not a world on its own, as if it's sort of just doing its own thing and its own laws there, and it's just kind of going its own way, and it's got nothing really to do with us, and we just sort of do bits and pieces here with it and find out sometimes we've got horse meat in our burgers or whatever. But we have here God, a sovereign over nature. Everything. Nothing is outside of his control. And Balaam learned that. This donkey, which he thought was just there to carry him, he hits it when it doesn't work properly for him, and it's just a donkey. God could use that donkey. Sometimes, you know, we read people have prayed, and a dog has helped people. It's brought food or it's brought rescue to one of his people somewhere, and that's been quite extraordinary. And that has been the Lord. Oh, isn't God amazing? Isn't he amazing? He is king over everything. So never think that things just happen. that everything around you is just sort of happening there. It's a law unto itself. Nature is just a law unto itself. It's doing its own thing. God isn't in control of that. He sort of just leaves that to get on with itself. It's not. Everything. And everything's going to be brought finally. New heavens, new earth. Everything's going to be brought together then. So there's going to be wonderful harmony because God hasn't forgotten the animals. He hasn't forgotten the donkeys. He hasn't forgotten all these other things. And he is in charge of it all, in control of it all. So we need to think, don't we, biblically? We need to think as the Bible would tell us. We need to be spiritual people, not just see the world as somewhere else, doing something else, following another law. But all of it, actually, is under God's control, as Balaam learned there. Let's sing our second hymn, 155, One There Is, Above All Others, 155.